This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things every week to make you say the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Did you guys notice that seemed like an extra jazzy version of the theme? I don't know. I think I have like different bass settings on my headphones or something. Like that.
Are you just in love?
Maybe I'm just. It's because I'm on.
I think it's just a sign.
It's because I'm on drugs or something.
It's gonna be a special episode.
Yeah. Are you on the Devil's Cabbage?
I got
jazz lettuce.
I got dosed. We had like a group lunch at work, and I got dosed. That's what happened.
I do feel like your intro was like a little more high energy than normal too.
It's because of the music. I don't know. Whatever that is.
Did you turn up the horns, Shelby? You cranking those horns?
I'm just doing a bit. I'm doing a character that just slowly becomes clear that I'm like coked up.
Oh no!
So I'm gonna open a bar later. It's gonna be cool. I think I'm bringing the band back. A lot of cool stuff. Look, I mean, who knows? Look at me. I only need like 2 hours of sleep now, which is cool.
I already have a whole playlist for the jukebox. I burned a lot of CDs last night, so we're ready to go on that front. Just need to get the real estate and liquor license. So.
You're like the smartest person I know, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but like, it's really cool.
I can't join in on this riff because I'm good and I've never done cocaine. Mm. So
that doesn't mean we've done it. You've seen movies.
Yeah, you've seen movies.
You get hot. It's not like you're like, "I've never heard of this powder. I don't know what it makes you do.
I don't know what it makes you do. I'm good.
It makes you excited and you talk about business. That's the general joke.
I feel like, yeah, the joke is always that you're going to open a bar.
Yeah.
It's the business drug.
It's the drug that makes you want to do business.
Yeah. That's why Gordon Gekko does it. Drinks it by the gallon.
You do coke and all of a sudden you have the urge to wear a striped shirt with those suspenders with like the leather strap in the back.
With the white collar, blue shirt, and then a yellow tie.
The official uniform of cocaine.
Yeah. Alternatively, you're on the beach by your Hamptons mansion in a bathrobe on the portable phone. Those are the two options for attire.
It has to be a giant portable phone, though. Yeah. Like, not like a, not a cell phone, not like a huge one with a huge antenna.
Yeah, but I feel like they're about to bring those back anyways. They're like those Moschino phone cases that girls have now that are like a gigantic, they look like an actual real size McDonald's fry box.
Yeah.
Like,
what is it? Because it's harder to lose?
I guess so.
That's interesting because I was just having a conversation with someone about this the other day where like women don't like the later model iPhones because they're too big to fit in our pockets. Uh-huh. So like most women I know like want the like, 5 size. Like I have a 5S, but I got it because I can't fit like a big one in my pocket. But then everyone has the huge cases too. So maybe my argument is out the window.
I don't think anybody really like, as I've some like, you know, fucking tech dude that's like, "Oh, this is full 16:9 cinematic." Like that was the best size. Was the old size. This is all the new shit where they're like, they're just like keep trying to make it bigger, like take headphone jacks out because they don't. They're like, "Is this Steve Jobs? Are we Steve Jobs?" Like,
yeah, that's true. They are kind of trying to impress a ghost. That does feel that way. They're waiting for Tim Cook is waiting for like Steve Jobs to come out of the clouds like Mufasa.
Yeah, yeah. If we do everything right, he said he'd be back. Apple's like the kid who's like, "If I win the state championships, will Dad be back?" And it's like, no, man.
Yeah, what is gone. With the, I mean, I feel like those cases are also like high fashion, so they're probably expensive. Yeah.
They're expensive. Yeah.
So like, I saw a dude with one, and he had like, it was like a Windex bottle. It was huge.
Yeah, Moschino. Yeah. Machino.
Where do you fucking put that thing, man?
For
do
a guy,
have,
it's
do you
weird.
Have a messenger bag that you carry everywhere? It's like 2 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, you
for
won't
a guy,
lose
it's weird,
it.
I think if you happen to have a
or you'll leave it on the or you'll leave it on the bar because you won't put it in your pocket.
Yeah, but you're not going to leave that shit on a bar.
I don't know, man.
You're going to walk out and be like, "Wow, my right pocket isn't completely filled with the outline of a Windex bottle.
I don't feel my hip impingement anymore." I can walk.
I don't know. I do feel like that's like it's very annoying to have to carry a purse around, but it just opens up a whole new world of stuff you can carry around at all times.
It's true.
Like, based on like, we all know my stance on umbrellas, that I think they're bullshit. Like, same reason. I hate having anything that doesn't fit into a jean pocket.
Eli is tactical.
Yeah, I'm extremely tactical, dude.
I do.
You get mugged or something, fucking, I'm going to be out of there, and somebody else would be like, I have my iPad, and they're going to be dead. I'm gonna be alive.
How does that make you more dead than what you're doing?
Because they're going to be like bobbling, and they'll be like, oh no, my contacts. And
oh, my
stabbed.
Various items.
I will say, like, carrying a purse, it does suck. It's like, anytime I can go somewhere without a purse, I feel very free. But also, like, the other thing is, the law of purses, it's like the law of gases. Like, however big your purse is how much stuff you will have in your purse.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it just accumulates.
It expands to fill the space.
It expands to fill the space. There's
especially
always, like,
if you fill it with popcorn, which is what I would do.
Full of popcorn. There's always, like, crumpled up receipts. There's, like, a 300-year-old tampon.
Oh, yeah.
It's like is this rice? What is this?
It's wedding rice from when you went to a wedding.
I mean, I feel
there's
like
Jordan almonds.
The closest parallel I would have to what my purse would look like is what my nightstand drawer looks like. And it is like everything.
It's full of popcorn, right?
Yeah, it's lots of popcorn. But just like, yeah, all that sort of stuff. It's like one DayQuil that I'm
you're
like, just, well, what if I get sick?
You're just at home with a girl in bed. And it's like, hang on a second. You open the drawer and it's just popcorn. It's like, what is that supposed to do?
And then you dig through the popcorn.
There's usually other stuff
out
in the popcorn. Or in the drawer.
Dig through the popcorn and pull out a condom. Yeah. It's like, let's go.
I'm gonna pass.
Roommate has, she's realized that she needs to rearrange her room because she really, like, so she has, like, her nightstand and, like, you know, she doesn't have a boyfriend or anything. So, like, she just has the one nightstand. But then, like, when she has guys over, the other side where their nightstand would be is literally a tray of cactuses. So, like, anytime they reach over. Yeah, she's like, I feel like I'm creating a hostile environment for anyone who comes to my house.
Like, can I even put a glass of water? Ow! Hey!
Exactly.
That's where I keep my empty Gatorade bottle full of water.
Like, if you're already... Like,
my eight cactuses is what's there instead.
Like, we've all, like, shared a bed with somebody who, like, is really dominating the space. Now, imagine that. That's happening, and you can't hang your like leg off the bed.
Yeah,
literally just a row.
You're on the cactus side. You're like eyes right up against eyeballs up against the spines of the cactus.
Yeah,
I had a work bag to go back to the popcorn bag thing. I had a work bag that I carried because I thought that's what you did.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
like
I never brought anything to or from, and I was like, why am I bringing? What am I like? What is going to maybe happen that I need it? Like, I bring, like, a pad to work during the day because I have to come here. Like, that's, like, the only reason that because I don't want to have to, like, carry my hands. But, like a day when I'm not doing something like this, there was no point to it.
What if you need to, like, run an errand or something?
They give you bags.
Yeah. I guess I'm, in Austin, they banned them, so I'm, like, used to carrying
Okay.
Oh, really?
But I think there was something
about it
that was, like,
Austin.
I was trying to be more, like, life hackery or something. And it's like, I got my gear in my bag, and it's like, well, you have nothing in here.
You guys just,
gear.
You have, like, pens. There's, like, pens in here.
You both have different interpretations of what being tactical is, it sounds like.
I want to be ready to use a pen. That's a big thing for
me. You can have, a knife in there, like a Swiss Army knife or, like, a camp knife or something.
Patty is
those are actually illegal to carry. In New York, so you can't
camp knives or Swiss Army knives or both.
Yeah, Patty is
over a certain size, so you can't carry.
Patty's sort of like the Boy Scout, like preparedness focus of tactical. I am like the fucking like
he's
ready
an operator.
To break out. Yeah,
that's why he has the big beard. He's like all the guys you see, in, like, all the SEALs and
Patty
shit
would
in, like, the
be
Middle East.
Patty would be in the van. I'd be in the field.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm the guy in the chair, right? Isn't that what he says, Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Let me be your guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Spider-Man. Who? The Avengers. How about that movie, huh?
Well,
can't wait.
This guy's got the goods. Look at great segue. Into,
anyways, all five of our items are the it's not a segue because we did not plan
each
talking
one,
about
each, it. Each one of the five items is one of the five Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Are those a thing? I haven't been paying
attention. Puts them in his gauntlet.
It's the things he puts it in his little thing and then he can punch the world.
And this is like there's
punch
so much.
The world.
Like, I'm not a big, I enjoy like the Marvel movies and stuff, but I am not a comic book fan outside of like maybe like Hellboy and like some of like the indie ones. But just to be really cool. But like there is so much of a suspension of disbelief to like most comic books are so fucking lame. Like, I know that they're, like, better now, and the storylines are, like, cool and, like, modern, but, like, Thanos is, like, a big, fat, like, ball sack chin man, and everybody has to act like he doesn't have a sack of balls on his chin, and they're like, he's the most powerful man in the universe, and he literally looks like a testicle.
Yeah. He also has a helicopter that says Thanos on it at one point,
like,
in, like, one of the 60s cheesy one, like, cartoons, but his thing in the comics is that he's horny for the physical embodiment of death. He's like, so he's
aren't
like,
we all?
So he's like, no, but like, there's like a woman who's deaf, and he's trying to fuck deaf, and that's but why he wants to like destroy the universe.
Okay. Deadpool gets married to death pretty at some cool. point.
I don't know. Sure.
I don't. I've like, I don't know who Thanos is, so I'm way.
He's okay, it's Josh Brolin. It's Josh Brolin. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Josh well, Josh Brolin kind of has a ball sack chin a little.
Wait,
bit.
Wait, but isn't Josh Brolin also Cable?
Yep.
So he's just both?
Well, this it doesn't, is really dumb. It doesn't really matter. He's not physically Thanos. It's just the mocap.
Yeah, but everyone's going to be like, hey, dude, you look a lot like the...
Hey, your voice is... Hey, excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because nerds definitely won't be pedantic. That's not a possibility.
Are we supposed to believe this is some sort of a magical rib?
It's just like all the... Like I was watching Gotham, so I really can't say anything, which Gotham is bad if you haven't watched it. But like, and then it's supposed to be like dark. It's one of these like dark... reimaginings.
Yeah.
And but they still have these fucking stupid names. Like the Riddler's in it, and the Riddler's real name is Ed Nygma, aka Enigma.
Yeah, Edward Nygma.
Thank you for the aka. I didn't get it.
Yeah, and it was like you can't.
Like, well, I like how they're teasing.
You have to not do this.
Haven't they been fucking teasing the Joker for like 3 seasons on that show, and they still haven't brought the Joker out?
Yeah.
There's like a guy who like is the Joker, but turns out he's not the Joker.
Yeah, because like, is anybody the Joker? Like,
when are we going to get to the... no thanks. That's like a lap dance of a TV show.
Oh, man.
Hard pass.
I figured out a segue, though.
Speaking of Disney.
There we go.
You know, it controls the Disney properties, or the Marvel properties. I blew it, guys.
That frozen corpse.
Number 5.
That head in a jar.
Yeah. Famous...
anti-Semite.
I was gonna say, huge fan of the Semites. Guys, there's a little bit of a situation at Disney World here.
It does make.
I'm sorry. In is it? No, it's Disney.
Yeah.
Disney World.
Yes. I was gonna say it's like
the only one I've been to.
How organized? How like organized and like just orderly Disneyland and Disney World are is a lot more sinister when you realize he was a huge anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Like you might start to pick up where it's like, oh, where did you get all this love of?
Of trains running on time.
Yeah.
I thought about that.
The Disneyland trains always run on time.
But yeah, it is like, I mean, Disney is like, it's kind of like North Korea a little bit. Like, it's a very, it's an authoritarian regime.
Well, that's what kind of makes this shocking, too, this story.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, it's, there's never any garbage on the ground. Like, there's never anything, like, visibly, like, off ever, really. Unless it's, like, an immediate thing and then somebody gets, like... swept away and you never hear about it again.
They get taken away by the secret police.
Everybody's smiling. There's like a sprawling like Death Star like sort of like subterranean thing going on.
Yeah.
They have a Gestapo.
I think it's pretty cool actually, if I'm being honest.
It's a fun place to visit.
Yeah, I would like to go as an adult. I have not been since I was like 12 years old.
Let's all go, guys.
Let's just go.
First Patreon money is going to
live show in Disney World.
We're all going to break into that weird like social club.
The gangs.
And we're all going to get jumped into the gangs.
No, we're going to have it in the fucking breakfast steamboat or whatever you have it on.
Okay, so this couple is suing Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, claiming that a filthy little rat.
More filthy little rat news.
Filthy rat.
FLR news. FLR update.
Bit a man when he grabbed it off his wife's wheelchair. And okay, that in and of itself is not. I mean,
maybe
I
the
know.
Rat
the wheelchair
was just
makes
trying
it
to
less
push.
Funny, kind of initially.
I mean it. It makes it funnier in the sense of now I have like a very vivid mental image.
Yes.
And I mean,
these are not young people. This is a guy who's 59. This guy, Galen.
To think that she's not able to deal with a rat because of that is in itself ableist. So.
Oh, boy.
I thought you were going to say is in itself funnier.
That's kind of where I thought it was going, too. I don't think we're going to wander into this.
I'm kind of like the Colbert Report. You know, I'm like, it's very satire. It's extremely satire.
Yeah. No, you're like, well, so they were at this details are funny. They're 59 years. The guy's 59. I don't know how old his wife is. They were exiting the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin in Tomorrowland. Are they with anyone else? Or are these just two, like, golden years people, like, that are in the Buzz Lightyear?
Just enjoying the fuck out of their retirement.
That's a little strange to me. Not even retired, 59, unless he did really well.
Yeah,
in the
that's true.
Or
I just assume anyone over the age of 40 in Florida is retired.
Nobody works down there. It's very weird.
maybe they just have that thing where they're like, it's the Buzz Lightyear. What's it called?
Space Ranger Spin.
They're like, it's a Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. Or, you know, it's just a roller coaster if you don't want to.
Well, I think it's like, I think maybe that's like teacups. I don't know. But
I'm thinking that thing, you know, that thing where like it spins around and you get like stuck to the side.
I think
and
then, those like, are the floor super.
That can't work with
anymore.
That can't work with a wheelchair.
Those
though,
aren't
right?
around anymore.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, don't do that in a wheelchair. That seems like it could be really bad.
That's even worse if they like take you out. It's God. I mean, I don't.
Just
think,
Mickey's
I don't think,
like, all right, come on, pick her up, put her on the thing.
I think the spinny things where the floor drops out are like purely the domain of like bad county fairs.
That's carnies. That's right. Like
carnies, not Disney.
You need to be able to pick up and move locations because if that thing breaks, like you don't deal with the lawsuit.
Shit
you
goes
fucking,
down.
You get in the wagon and you fucking book it.
I like this theory because like I would have been like, oh well, you know they can't do like. The carnies can't have like the crazier rides because they have to move them. But you're like, no, they can have the crazier rides because then they get the fuck out of Dodge.
That's also, why they're way less safe because they're assembled in the past 12 hours.
Exactly. At all times.
It's like breaking. It's like putting together a stage for like a concert and then breaking it up. That's how they do it.
Dude,
only it's all people that are all high.
Do you want to ride the ride that shows you some of the amazing features of physics? And it's like, who put it together?
You guys ever heard the salt and pepper shaker or one of those things? You guys know what
What's
one
that?
Is?
What's that?
That sounds
it's
bad.
Like you get in like a thing shaped like a pill almost.
Oh, yes. And then that spins and it goes around.
It goes up. It goes high.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, that was really dangerous in retrospect.
I went to, when I was in Denmark, like fairs like that are like a thing in Denmark. Like most towns over like, I don't know, 10 or 20,000 people have like one of those and it's permanent. And I went to one with people and it was so surreal because it's like fresh faced, like Nordic teens working at it. But it's like all carny shit. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, because it's carny shit with all the seediness.
It's like ring fits onto the peg.
Yeah.
Is this not a scam?
It was weird. Like, I didn't like it as much because it wasn't gross.
It's like, I threw the baseball and it knocked over the milk bottle.
They're just like, sorry, we're out of prizes today. Everyone did very well. So,
exactly.
We'll open tomorrow. So
we'll refund your money instead. Hang on. What is this? So, this was free? What does this do for you?
This is what Bernie Sanders wants for
us. That's correct. Apparently, a huge rat runs into a merchandise store near the ride.
It went inside?
I guess. And then somebody... the rat kind of ping-ponged around. So it runs into the store. Then someone yelled, rat! And kicked the animal, which then jumped onto the wheel of the wheelchair. So it was running into the store. Somebody freaked out and kicked it. Then it ran up onto the wheelchair.
And it ran up to the wheelchair and it was like, goose it! Let's go!
Step on it, lady. Gotta get out of here.
This might be editorializing because I'm not sure this guy was able to know what the rat was going to do. But just as the rat was about to bite into Carol's arm, that's when the guy grabbed it. Like as if the rat was like tying a napkin around its neck, like grabbed out silverware and was like
salting,
shaking something. Like, oh, here we go, baby.
Yeah, rubbing
like,
its filthy licking, little rat hands
its,
together,
licking its disgusting
it was,
lips.
It was he grabbed it right in the middle of its eyes as slot machines coming up on double chicken legs.
So that's I mean, we're in Disney, I guess, right? So that's when he grabbed it, and then it bit him, and then. And then he twisted the rat's neck. The rat fell to the floor where someone threw an empty plastic container. This is a very well-coordinated group of people. That's because there's nothing ever amiss, and people are like, we have to fix this. This is not right.
Yeah.
This is like the closest to real-life Pokemon.
And then...
throw on the ground, someone throws a Tupperware over it.
I just think, speaking of being tactical, like, that man broke a rat's neck.
He got it done.
Yeah.
He knew what to do.
He's like Steven Seagal.
Well, rats.
Is this the Florida one or the California one?
Florida.
Yeah, they know how to wring a fucking rat's neck.
I don't know, man. We were talking last week. They don't know how to kill iguanas.
Yeah, well, no, they do. They just
they hit them
do it about
the
same way. Actually, this is more humane than the iguanas.
It's true. They should get this guy on that case.
So the rat bites this guy's finger, and then he goes, it's like, you're out of here, rat, or whatever, and then snaps its neck, and then somebody throws a container over it, and then a Disney employee runs over and says, do not photograph this animal. And then ran away. Please don't leave any proof of this.
No, if this is Disney, I wish to God they had done. Someone's like, rat, and then some employee comes like, oh, wait, it's Mickey. Coming out to play.
I think the first place I saw this story was somebody had posted this on Twitter and was just like, he's a mouse and his name is Mickey.
Now I really love the idea, too, of going to Disney World and seeing Mickey and acting horrified that he's a disgusting rat. Ew.
How do you let these things in here?
You just guys, point and scream.
Yeah. And so they're suing.
You guys ever see this cartoon about this filthy little rat named Mickey? He's got this filthy rat wife. I hate him. Awful.
Suing for 15 G's.
Disgusting.
Which seems high.
15 G's for a rat bite?
Well, yeah. And suing medical expenses, fine. Physical handicap, it was one of your fingers. Disfigurement, one of your fingers. How bad a bite was this?
I want to know how deep this rat
mental
bite
anguish.
Is.
Look, I get it. You throw the kitchen sink. You say everything. I can't sleep anymore. I don't enjoy the taste of food. I mean, this is what I'm thinking though.
That's the thing is, I'm imagining these people.
His wife can sue for loss of companionship because they don't sleep together as much anymore because the rat.
But they're in their late 50s. They're at Disney World. Like, maybe this is their thing, and now their thing is, like, tarnished, and they have no enjoyment of life anymore.
Maybe they can't go to Disney because we have traumatic memories.
Right, well, they also made Disney their enemy, though, which seems like not a wise decision.
That's true.
They had to weigh it out. Disney, you know, our love of Disney versus a sweet 15 G's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That'll buy you, like, 8 tickets to Disney World.
I feel like, hey, I'm bleeding. Let me talk to one of the guys. Like, how can you make this right? So we'll give you a bunch of passes or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
No.
That's what they're going for, right?
No, because if they were Disneyland people, now you filed the lawsuit.
Now they have to. It's an open court.
You're right.
They're going to settle, but they got to circle the wagons a little bit.
If they're Disney stands, you're like, give us some of them silicone beeper wristbands that let us in forever.
Yeah.
So let me get one of those. One of the really big Figment stuffed animals, please.
Yeah.
That cool ass purple dragon.
Like whatever the equivalent.
The only good thing about Epcot.
Yeah. Whatever the equivalent of like the Chili's like metal card that you get. You get like free Chili's forever.
That's a thing.
That's no skin off their nose, right?
That's a thing. I think somebody has like its metal
Chili's platinum card.
Remember, wasn't Olive Garden selling like lifetime passes at one point as like a viral stunt?
That seems about right.
I think they gave it to some celebrity. Like there was like, I don't know. Didn't Benihana give Tracy Morgan like some ridiculous amount of?
That sounds fine to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a 30 Rock episode.
There is a 30 Rock episode where they go to Benihana, but it's based on like
him really
Tracy,
getting one.
Like Tracy Morgan legitimately spent like $50K at a Benihana. He like went to Benihana and was like, I got everybody's food. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he loves Benihana. I've never been to a Benihana.
Just hanging out with
pretty fun.
Steve Aoki at Benihana.
Yeah.
Steve Aoki.
Why Steve Aoki?
Because he's an heir to
his dad owns Benihana.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were just being racist.
No, I feel like half
I learned something.
There you go. That would have been a pretty bad one if I didn't know what the story was.
Hanging out at Benihana with freaking Steve
That guy from Last Samurai. Any one of them.
Tom Cruise.
Except for Tom Cruise.
But your guy is really racist against Asians, but you
except
think
Tom
Cruise.
Except for Tom Cruise or the guy
Asian.
From Scandal or the Scottish guy from Head of the Class.
Yeah.
Anyone,
Keanu
anyone
Reeves.
That knows.
Matt Damon in Great Wall. Can we watch? I want to see Great Wall.
I saw it. It's not good.
Oh, dang it.
It's just an extended thing where
are
it's
the
like
monsters cool? It seemed like it would have cool monsters.
They're like based in Chinese myth, apparently.
Are they the lions?
No, they're like lizard guys.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're aliens, I think. Anyway, look.
Anything dragon adjacent?
We'll see if these guys.
Figment? Awesome.
Yeah.
Figment's in it. He's the.
Who's Figment?
Figment's
the purple dragon from Epcot.
He's the Epcot mascot.
Oh.
Epcot mascot
is
ice cream paint job. Epcot mascot.
Also, I was like thinking about that. It was like everyone's like Disneyland is so clean, and I'm like, I don't remember the arcade being clean, but arcade is the filthiest place on earth. I don't know. I don't care how clean you are.
Everyone's
an arcade is like
disgusting. Well, children are disgusting, and that's who goes
hands.
In there. Grubby little hands, filthy little rats.
Yeah,
all of it.
Number four.
So number four is a story that comes to us from China, where Steve Aoki is not from.
China. It's like that guy says it.
It sounds like a dinner party. Like our next dish comes to us from China. It's like some mom that made stir fry.
Fortune cookies.
Yeah. She bought a kimono and is like, that's not the right thing, mom. Like you can't do that. Yeah.
From the Ancient Orient.
Yeah, mom,
that is, yeah.
Stop.
I don't want to like go off on more of a tangent, but that like character move in Parks and Rec where they make John Glazer's character like a super like weeb like Japanese obsessed guy, but he like makes sushi out of canned tuna is so good.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh yeah,
he just got jammed.
Anyway, this story is about it's from an article called China's New Frontiers in Dystopian Tech. It's from The Atlantic. It's a very good article. But really, the thing that grabbed my attention was literally the first sentence of it, because I have a short attention span, but also because this is how this article starts. Dystopia starts with 23.6 inches of toilet paper. Also something I say a lot. that's how much the dispensers at the entrance of the public restrooms at Beijing's Temple of Heaven dole out in a program involving facial recognition scanners. Part of the president's, quote, toilet revolution, which seeks to modernize public toilets. Wow. Want more? Forget it. If you go back to the scanner before 9 minutes are up, it will recognize you and issue this terse refusal. Please try again later.
Toilet revolution.
Toilet revolution.
That also happened here on November 8th, 2016, folks.
Boom!
Folks!
Hit that Let's Play Some Basketball.
Where is it?
Let's Play Some Basketball!
Gotta get better on that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, also they're like, oh, you get, but then so... But if I really need more toilet paper, can I just like pull up different faces on my phone and be like, boop, you know? And
try like to
Ryan,
scan
yeah, and Ryan Gosling walks in and it's like, no toilet paper, you were just here. And he's like, what?
Was that? I'm a big fan of the fact there's basically a camera in every bathroom.
Yeah.
That's pretty
yeah.
good.
You know, well, that's what's so funny about this to me. It's like, it's this super high tech, state of the art technology to deal with like the least high tech thing we do, which is rub paper on our assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After we shit.
Yeah.
Like, we've found a way to combine these things in probably, I think, one of the worst ways they could be combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
At least it doesn't just like scan your
it's like
genitals.
Good news. It uploads your preferences into the cloud.
It scans your butt to see if there's shit on it, and then it gives you toilet
paper. It's just going
to
get further and further. It's going to have like a scale in the toilet, and it's like, you have been allotted this many inches of toilet paper, like based on excretion.
Based on ass size.
Yeah.
I will say 23.6 inches of toilet paper seems like enough.
You have a huge
it's
ass.
Enough. I wonder, it is weird that it's 23.6. Like, that's that, like, that's like that super, you know, number crunching, like 23.6. It's like, if you give them that last 0.4 of an inch, it's gonna, is it 23.6 inches in Japan?
Well, I think it's probably a normal number of centimeters, but the Atlantic wrote inches.
Oh,
my guess.
They changed it.
Also, China, not Japan.
Yeah.
Pretty cool you went there, though.
I was thinking about Steve Aoki and
this
toilets.
This is my fault, because earlier you did this to me, because I was talking about this and I was like, I got to use one of those fancy Japanese toilets this week. It changed my life, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But he was like, wow, so you think China and Japan are the same?
Yeah.
I was trying to connect with you. I was like, do you also? No,
finally, it's the same
kidding.
Space.
We are the same.
I'm just kidding.
The 23.6 is definitely some McKinsey nightmare person like ran like some insane Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like my claim to fame, the thing that made me a millionaire is I advised Delta to take one cherry tomato out of every salad they give, and it saved them $1 billion a year. And
yeah.
So now,
but
it's
imagine doing so that, but having to do research about how much toilet paper and the average ass needs.
Yeah. I mean, you just shit like you normally do, but take notes, I guess.
You know, like consult.
But that's only a sample size of one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over there and get in there and then like sue them, because I'm like, I have IBS and I need more than 23.6 inches, which is, you know,
just like, Eli smashing the machine, just like screaming like an ape.
But think about sometimes, you know, sometimes it gives you that. When am I not screaming like an ape?
That is like the ugly American move, is to go there
and scream like an ape
and break their facial recognition toilet paper dispenser.
Sorry.
Because you shit
too much.
What
the hell is this? How about you recognize my fist? it's like a slot machine. No, it does the slot machine thing where it starts like, and the toilet paper is just shooting out, and I'm just like, yeah.
The crowd just runs in and starts grabbing it.
Yeah, grabbing it off the like piss covered floor and shoving in their pockets.
Yeah, it's like making it rain with toilet paper. Everyone is in a frenzy to grab as much as they can.
This machine's hot. This thing's paying off.
Just old ladies with like a cup full of toilet paper sitting in front of.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of Mad Max.
Faces.
It's like Mad Max Fury Road when he sprays the water on everybody, but it's toilet paper. Yeah,
they just have a big like folder full of like magazine cutouts of different people's faces, and they hold them up to the scanner and like feed the toilet paper into their purse.
You turn around, there's a cop. It seems like a good system, though. I think. Yeah. Hopefully, we get it here soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we get a startup that brings it to everybody.
Let's just.
Sometimes you get that 23.6, and you got one of those dry poops. And you're like, whoo, and you save it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tuck that in, you walk out feeling like $1 million.
That's when you're gonna want to have a a bag.
True.
You can just poop in the bag.
Save everything. Cut off the middle, man.
Just line the bag.
Wait, did I think this is like I don't know what there was like alternate lyrics for Ants Marching by Dave Matthews that we just started singing, and they've been at my like sketch team, and I've been singing it to myself for like 2 weeks, and I just need to get it out in the world. And it goes like this. It goes, dip my hands in the toilet, scoop them turds out. And then that's it. But I cannot get it out of my head.
It needed to be on the podcast.
Everybody else with it.
Group comedy. The famous thing where you know what everyone else thinks is funny and you're not all sharing a group delusion.
Yeah.
I think you have done that. I don't know if it's on the show, but I definitely heard you do that before.
It told us about it last week. You were very excited about it.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my head.
It's my catchphrase, okay, guys?
Oh, yeah. Unlike you guys, you were batting 1,000 on every bit.
Yep.
We're killing it.
We're doing great.
Anyway, you should do that.
I just had that slot machine toilet paper bit. It was classic. We all did. We nailed it.
Just play that one again, Shelby.
I like the Ants Marching. I'm going to do that at karaoke in your honor.
Ants Marching?
It's one of those
great It's a great comedy song because it has such like a like recognizable like
boop, burr, boop, boop, burr, burr.
Yeah.
I can't think about Dave Matthews without thinking about whoever made the joke that Timothée Chalamet sounds like something Dave would say on stage.
That's good.
That is lodged.
Whose joke is that?
I don't remember. It's just it's just good. Lodged in my brain.
Yeah,
sounds like Ants Marching lyrics.
Timothée Chalamet.
All of his stuff sounds like the names of people from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like isn't that one of the albums? Is like it's like
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Yeah, it's like the Turkey Wizard and Zaphod Beeblebrox. And then
the Grugrux King. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Grugrux King.
That was when I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Which sounds
man.
Like your dad trying to remember what the Ku Klux Klan was called.
That is Grugrux Kings, bad fellas.
Here we go. Just a little.
Okay, do it. Do the lyric.
It's not gonna probably line up. Wait. God, there's so much pressure. I'm not gonna be ready for it to come in.
Dip my hands in the toilet. Scoop them turds out the toilet.
I don't remember.
Rhyming toilet with
cut
toilet.
It. It's more about what you remember Ants Marching sounding like than what Ants Marching
really
sounds like.
It's about the notes he wasn't
like.
Singing.
Yeah, it's the modern day jazz.
That's anyway, what Dave Matthews Band is to me, the modern day jazz.
Yeah.
That's
what they think they are. Probably.
That is 100% what they think they are.
You know, they're among the more tolerable of the jam.
They're not,
band.
Yeah. I don't think,
I would disagree.
You like the super long jam band?
I think it's very unoffensive. Like, it's like, I don't get why people are like, it's just music.
I think it's a cultural association with the people that liked Dave Matthews Band when I was younger.
Okay, that's fair.
That like makes me hate it more aggressively than I like would if I just heard it.
See, like the people I know that like Grateful Dead are all like super like mellow people, but I fucking can't stand it. It's a snooze. It's like, how do we let's take a song and just iron it out real long
till it's flat,
and then we just get to sit there and I don't know. That's just not my thing. Anyone who emulates that, just not for me, and that's fine. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there for everybody.
I think like acapella is the only thing.
Bye.
Pentatonix.
What a time to be alive.
Is Pentatonix acapella?
Yes.
Ooh.
They are like...
What? Stop telling me that band is good, you idiots.
It's purely an acapella group. Like, you're in college. And you can buy CDs. It's on Spotify.
It's like UPenn off the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whiff and poofs.
Yeah,
UPenn off the beat's pretty good.
I don't get about acapella is like beatboxing. Like, why is that guy not cool enough to not hang out with everybody else as an acapella? Go
to a fucking rap battle or something. Don't
find better
don't
friends.
Don't wear, you know, five ties. They're all different colors.
Like, yeah, I heard Razzell, If Your Mother Only Knew.
Yeah.
And I got really good at it. And now I just hang out with these people.
Yeah. I heard that. And then I found four dudes named Tucker and we were off to the races.
Yeah, that's
sorry,
that does,
whoever's named Tucker that listens to this podcast.
It's like the opposite of the dude who plays saxophone that gets in like a cool rock band. It's like the opposite of that.
Yeah. Dude, I saw on Reddit someone took a. You know the alien man on the L?
No.
Guy who thinks he's an alien?
No.
There's a guy on the L. This will be quick, but he says that he's an alien. He gets on the L and he goes, "I am from another planet and I receive satellite transmissions."
Never seen
him. And then he plays the sax unbelievably badly until someone pays him to stop. And
that's a great bit. I've never heard of this guy
before.
It
would be if he thought it's just like, it's so bad.
Well, this is my question. Does he think this is funny?
No, he just does it to get money. He's also, no, I think, somewhat genuinely mentioned.
That's what I mean. Is like, is he doing this as like a scam and this is his bit? Or is he like genuinely a crazy person? Because if he's genuinely a crazy person, I like it.
I think that the part about him being an alien is genuine mental illness, but I think he knows
he's bad.
He also
saxophone.
Is not trying to get better at saxophone.
You've seen him and he has not improved.
It's not. He plays Hot Cross Buns and it's like that song does not take a long time to learn.
I could then pick up a saxophone and do that.
Yeah, and then somebody put, like, anyway, somebody posted on Reddit, was like, this guy, this weird guy, and I got so mad. I'm like, he has ruined so much of, I don't know.
Look at these kids dancing time. On the train. It's like, yeah, we know, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
Reddit.
Yeah. Whoa, okay, I got to New York. These guys have pizza everywhere.
I still enjoy Showtime. I'm sorry, we're getting very off track. I think we've talked about this before. Just want to be on the record. Showtime, I like it.
All shit.
Number three.
Gotta move. All right, number three is, speaking of things that don't make me mad, so this is a thing. This is just like, it's multiple things that are stupid that have just like kind of like ping-ponged off each other and just snowballed into this horrific, I don't remember where exactly I saw this, but it's this article and it doesn't even matter what it's one of these crazy papers that's like just a lot of words that sound like different papers, so it sounds credible. The Washington Free Beacon, like, okay. And it says, Harry Potter is an inspiring parable about hashtag resisting gun control. And so what this is, ugh, is it's, yeah, you're going to get so mad, dude.
I got mad about this yesterday, so I think I can try to hold it together.
I'm just trying to imagine that, like, the Grinch-like smile that came onto this guy's face or whoever wrote it when they thought of it. Like,
But yeah, here's the double whammy of it, which is that this is the start of it is them talking about this is a tweet thread from a Time reporter.
Yeah.
Okay, and it goes, I'm just going to read it because it drives me so insane. It goes, one thing I noticed while reporting on the Never Again MSD students ahead of the March for Our Lives, this is not just a generation that has grown up with school shootings. It's also a generation that grew up reading Harry Potter. Harry Potter has almost become their playbook. The ones who lived, fighting an evil force that has infiltrated the government and brainwashed adults using only the powers they've learned in school. Illumination, protection, disarmament. CC at J.K. Rowling. Suck. Poop.
Okay.
Wait.
I lied about not being mad. Okay, I lied about being able to contain myself.
What is it's that not weird, like, what is that weird, like, retweet farming? Like, virality farming on that
just
one?
Just CCing J.K. Rowling.
That's the thing.
This.
Fuck her for CCing J.K. Rowling. Also,
J.K. Rowling is bad now, I thought, too, right? Didn't that happen a couple days ago?
I don't
ago?
Know, man.
She just, like, does the thing where she's like, surprise, all these characters were secretly, like, niche identity people. But I never wrote about it, but I'm still getting credit for it. Yeah. So, fuck her. But anyway.
Let me keep going through this because it keeps getting bad. They refer to H.P. a lot. They call Rick Scott Voldemort. No, they don't.
Who is they?
Kids, you're talking about like teenagers, I guess.
No, they don't
go around doing that. Reporter, like adults go around calling Rick Scott Voldemort.
People who write Twitter threads are the people who do that. Adults who write viral Twitter threads are the only people on Earth who give this much of a shit about Harry Potter.
Bill Nelson is a cross between Dumbledore and Dragon. At Emma for Change, who's Emma Rodriguez, who is still reading book 7, says they haven't even finished the book. Compared this battle to the showdown between Dumbledore's army and the Death Eaters inside the Ministry of Magic. I don't know if she really did that. I didn't read that, but
which battle? The gun control?
That's,
I guess.
I'm hoping that's the shooting.
I don't think the shooting. Yeah.
Like, she said, it says that she compared this to that, but I don't know, like, what
she probably did, but it's not like think piece it's not fucking their, worthy.
Also, like 17-year-old kids are allowed to be fucking cheesy. Yeah.
They're like the only people who should be allowed to compare stuff to Harry Potter.
And also, it's like, you know what? It's if it's Emma Rodriguez, right? It's like, if she wants to compare something to Harry Potter once, fine. She also has like helped organize a million person. It's like,
and she's
okay.
in the fucking target demographic for the books still, unlike everyone else. All
right. Yeah. Other parallels they mentioned. So maybe they mentioned, like, they're aided by a beloved principal and teachers. That's not unique to Harry Potter. Government officials are often useless. Their opponents use unfair tactics against children. I couldn't help noticing there's even a family of redheads on their side. That's just statistics.
I'm so glad that Harry Potter finally introduced the idea that people in the government are sometimes not good at their jobs.
It's that
was such a novel thing for them to come up with.
People like they attribute like they're good books. I enjoyed them, but people attribute like the idea of evil to be as if it's invented by Harry Potter.
That's what's so absurd. It's like literally the stuff she's explaining is every good versus evil fantasy book in the world.
J.K. Rowling invented the bureaucrat.
That's the thing. That's like, what the fuck? That makes no sense.
So Harry Potter invented what is just basically the all-powerful evil being. It's not even like a nuanced... Mm-mm. It's just straight up like this person's evil because they were evil since they were born or whatever.
Joseph Campbell is so mad.
Okay. Many of them pointed out that the Expelliarmus, the disarmament spell, is the go-to spell for Hogwarts kids. Disarmament is the march for our lives strategy, both literal and rhetorical. They want to both reduce gun violence and disarm the NRA using jokes, facts, social media. It's just... I can't, like, it's...
So that's the thread, and then they flip it around in the article? Is that
They flip it around
very easily because it's a fucking because it's not a good parallel.
So, like, actually, well, we're the good guys.
The thing that's, like, so crazy, like, because now there's this editorial, right? This editorial refuting this dumbass thread. But they refute it just by only talking about Harry Potter.
It's like, it's not like a children's book. It turns out real life is like a children's book.
I think, like, I don't agree with this article, but it's earned.
Well, what does it say?
I know, but this allows them to do this sort of shit where it's like, oh, now instead of actually talking about gun control, they get to spout off about fucking Harry Potter, and this is just nerd shit now. It's not even about. It's not surprising. So this is no longer the thread. This is the rebuttal or whatever. It's not surprising in the world. Blah, blah, blah. Even if you buy into the notion that fantasy books should dictate our policy, I find it surprising that so many of the children who read Harry Potter came away thinking we need more gun control. I've read all 7 books on several occasions, and they make the strongest case for an armed populace and the evils of gun control I've ever read. Instead of guns, wizards in Harry Potter use wands for self-defense. Every wizard is armed at 11, taught to use dangerous spells, and released into a society where everyone's packing heat and concealed carry is the norm. It's an inspiring example that the United States should strive towards, which, like, but also, like, kind of, you did win, like, that it does happen in there. It's just, but you don't win this argument. Neither of you is winning an argument about gun control.
Right, you're both fucking stupid because you're just talking about Harry Potter.
You're just fucking talking about Harry Potter. Stop using it as a parallel to
stuff. Wands have other purposes.
Yeah.
Avada Kedavra is one of the unforgivable curses. Guns don't do anything else other than fucking Avada Kedavra.
You're getting fucking... Guys. You're getting baited straight into this.
Yeah. Now you're talking about Harry Potter.
That's why this is such a bad idea.
This idea that it's like... It's a great example. This guy really thinks everyone should have a fucking gun at all times? This moron who wrote this thing?
Yeah, but that's what they already thought. But now because it's Harry Potter, it like gets people like reacting to it. It's like... That's still the same stupid idea it was. They're just attributing it to something they like. They're taking something... I mean, like, it also would be like that in that book you like, and it just doesn't. It's like anything. I don't know much about it. It's like that someone being like, oh, how far would the gunslinger have gotten in the Dark Tower without a gun? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You can't just like pick shit out of fiction and then apply it. It's like the most useless.
Everyone should have a gun, and everyone should also have a hat to get blown off by someone else. We should just live in the old west.
Everyone should have a gun and an apple. And then everyone should shoot the apples off each other's heads. That's what should happen.
The only thing a gun should be able to do is turn your face soot black and put your mouth around on the other side of your head. That's it.
Those are the only kind of weapons I support.
But it's just like, I just want to be a thing. I don't even think there's like anywhere further to go than just me getting super mad. But it's like, there's a thing where it's like, if you're discussing gun control or anything like that, and then the other person goes like, if we look at Harry Potter, stop listening and go,
No. Why are we talking about Harry Potter?
Can we just like agree to not talk about Harry Potter as an analogy for this?
That's what I was
going
to say. Yeah. I would go so far as to say if anyone brings up Harry Potter in any political argument in any way for any reason,
you're a fucking idiot.
Don't talk to that person anymore about politics because they're an idiot.
It's the new Godwin's law. Whoever brings up Harry Potter first loses the argument.
Unless they are actually a child, in which case, sure, fine. Like, if that teaches you about good and evil, great, but like, a fucking adult should not be
I would rather hear fucking, you know who else wanted to disarm the public? Stalin. You guys hear about him? I'd rather hear that than fucking, I can't do it.
There's historical context to use. It doesn't go like, let's see how this affected the world of make-believe. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, and then also, it's like, there's this weird thing about it where it's like, she's attributing to these kids. It's like, those kids were also involved in a shooting. And I think that has a lot more to do with their action right now than being like,
than reading
they
Harry
weren't
Potter.
Sitting in the fucking closet with gunfire going off going like, oh, it's like Voldemort is here. It's not. It's crazy. Shut
All
up
right,
about
guys.
Harry Potter.
Time to hit up the playbook. Harry Potter.
Yeah. Some kid charges out with
a
wand.
Let's do this.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, that sucks. So shame on everyone involved. You guys blew it.
Thanks for letting us yell about it.
I really yelled for a while there.
you got a little worked up.
Let's clear the air a little bit here.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
See, I'm trying to...
Surprisingly effective. I'm back to zero.
I'm trying to fulfill some requests from listeners that want to hear that more. Okay, let's...
What? That's like...
Number two. No,
sorry. Okay. I already hit it. I'm sorry.
That's
what were you going to say?
Nope.
Say it.
Just going to say, I feel like that's very... I love the constructive criticism we get where it's just like, play the thing more. Play
the
moon pie joke.
Hey, that's easier.
Do a backflip.
it's great.
Yeah, I'll do a backflip.
Guys.
All right.
You didn't
Patty
see
do a backflip?
Patty just did a backflip.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It was nuts.
I didn't even take... I have enough cable length. I didn't have to take off the headphones. It's pretty wild.
And he didn't even have to like swing his arms. Just standing tuck.
His hair is still perfect.
Incredible core strength. Okay, I'm going to hit it again.
Number two.
Okay. This is a good one. I think this is my favorite kind of story because it's... I don't know. It's this dude. There's a French... a waiter from France. Who came up in France, becoming a waiter in Montreal.
He came up in France.
In Vancouver, from the American Foreign Press Montreal. This guy, Guillaume Ray, who works at a Vancouver restaurant, filed a complaint with British Columbia's Human Rights Tribunal. Which is
Sorry. Yeah. I was just very noisily drinking into the microphone.
So make sure you scrunch the bottle a little bit.
I was trying to move away from it, but I'm like, I've cornered myself with a microphone.
Was it like an ad for Poland Spring?
Just get a little.
I'm so sorry to everyone.
Just get a little crinkle in there.
I was really thirsty. I'm so sorry. Put that on the soundboard, please.
Whatever that series of noises was.
Oh yeah.
Everyone okay? We good?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm so sorry to Guillaume Ray and his.
Yeah, he's got a real struggle he's dealing with here. Okay. So he sued the restaurant because he got fired, basically for being an asshole. That's it. He was a good waiter. He just had a what he refers to as a direct, honest, and professional personality, which he acquired while training in France's hospitality industry. So I'm picturing like the snootiest maitre d' guy.
Yeah. Super dismissive.
Yeah, like.
But he brings you your food on time.
Right, like the job gets done. Hey man, I came up in France. We're dicks to everybody. You know, that's just the way we make everyone feel small. That's like, the job.
Because that's what it should be said. That's what he's trying to say was the cause, right?
Yeah. He says he trained in France's hospitality industry. Apparently, they're very brusque. Both parties agree, perform well despite his allegedly disagreeable demeanor. I personally love a mean waiter. I think it's a great bit.
Especially a mean French waiter. Like, yeah. I like the two types of mean waiters that are good are like a middle-aged woman who works at a diner. Like, please be mean to me. Like, that's what I live for. And then snooty French guy. Yeah. Like, perfect. What else do you want?
I've talked to you about this, but I have like a thing where it's like, that's a thing about a restaurant that's funny is that you either have to be very professional and nice or you have to be really mean. Because if you're really mean, it becomes your thing.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, you gotta go check it out. They fucking yell at you. It's great. Yeah. Or you have to just be professional. If you're just like kind of a dick, people get really mad about it.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's really nice but sucks at waiting tables is like a like stresses me out because like I hate this but I don't want to not tip. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like a,
I feel I like it. You then you get personally invested in how bad they are at their job and you like are upset for them.
Just try. Yeah. Just like focus a little more. Come on, like just come check. You
have
know,
you guys
like,
ever waited tables?
I did. Yeah,
I've been a busboy, but I haven't waited tables.
Were you good at it, Patty?
I was fine. I think. Right. Yeah, I don't think I ever major mistakes or anything like that. I sucked at opening bottles of wine. And it was just stressing me out.
Oh, that used to stress me out so much.
And we couldn't use like the fancy ones. We had to use like one of the little wine keys.
Oh, yeah.
And like it was good because it meant the tip was going to be bigger, but it did like stress me out.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, do it in front of us. Man, it's like,
oh,
okay.
Oh,
I'll be done in a sec. I never really had any major incidents with that, but I did have to like practice. Like, but you can't practice because you're opening bottles of wine.
Right.
Like, you can't just like, you know, it's not like you can like, oh, I'll just do this one over and over again. It's like, no, that's not how this works. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've said before that my family went to like a family of restaurants like when I was growing up, you know, and there was this, and they have like these rosters of dudes from Italy who will like rotate in and out kind of, and like depending on the different places and the different like situations. And there was this dude, Vito, who is like the greatest, who was my dad's favorite, who was all of our favorite. Because he would just say stuff. He was like, he was really good at his job. He was always like the head guy, like the head waiter. He could basically run the restaurant when the people weren't there. But he was just like a total dickhead, and it's like awesome. Yeah. But never to us, like to everyone else.
Right. That is a special permutation of mean waiter is when they're nice to you but mean to everybody else. That's like pretty fun.
And to like the restaurant, he'd be because he's not like a stake in it the way that you know like it's not gonna close. But so he'll be like. Don't have the fish. It's disgusting. Like over another table of people that can hear, you know, like stuff like that. Like that's, you know, he like, there was somebody complained about the music. They were playing like, I forget what it was. I think it might've been Christmas Eve. They were playing Christmas Eve music. No, and he goes, oh, you don't like the music? We'll get out. On Christmas Eve.
I kind of like, they have a sign like that at Gian Famous Foods, which like you guys have been to before, right?
Yeah, it was good.
It's really good. They have like a sign, because they play, even though, I mean, like it's like the younger son of this family took it over. And now in there, they play like a lot of actually like really good hip hop and stuff. But I guess like, they had enough people come in and be like, why are you playing this? Like, which is weird. It's probably people like, this isn't right for this restaurant. So they just have a sign up that's like, this is our restaurant. This is the music that we enjoy listening to while we work. Like, same thing. If you don't like it, sorry. Yeah. Like, whatever. But this reminds me of, there's a restaurant. I might have closed. I think it may have closed and then maybe it was supposed to try to reopen. It was like a total, what's the word I want? Like, institution in Ann Arbor at Michigan called Blimpy Burger, and that was their whole thing, is that like they had a very specific way you ordered, and if you didn't do it right, they just skipped you, and that was it. And
that
as
is
someone,
my worst nightmare.
It's like that hot dog place in Chicago, right? Isn't there?
Oh yeah, place? Not quite as like making fun of people as Wiener Circle. That's the place you're talking about.
But Wiener Circle has no right to make fun of anyone else.
They know.
Fucking Wiener
they
Circle.
Know, though.
No.
It's like
no.
It's like a purposely dumb stand-up show name. They know. Like,
I'm mad.
But Blimpy Burger, like that was, and as someone with a dad who is like a nightmare to order, like he's so. Like all
just
like,
does he like ask about everything and
yeah,
like
he a car he came to Karma and
what's good here?
He came to Karma.
Nothing. It's Karma.
Yeah, and then
I meant about the burger place,
but oh yeah. No, but that's exactly like what and he also tries to do this is I'm just gonna talk not gonna just talk about my dad. He does that thing where he like if he wants two things, he'll try to convince you that you would like whatever he wants part of and then so that he can order both of them. But yeah, he went to Karma once, and there was like a comic I knew who was just at the bar, didn't know it was my dad. And I walked over and said hi to her, and she was like, this old guy at the bar just made them wash out a glass twice. And I was like, 100% my dad. Definitely dad. But yeah, like he walks up and then, you know, did like that, and she's just like, you don't know what you want. And then just skips him. And it was like, yes! It's like so good. It's also really fucking good. I hope it's still open. I'm not sure.
I hate when I go to a restaurant and the way to order is not immediately clear. And then everyone is mad at you for not just divining the way that you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Like, depends. I can't. It stresses me out so much.
It's like, it's like forcing an in-group. Like, so it's like everyone gets to go, eh.
Yeah, no,
stand
I
back
I don't,
and look at, and you know, figure it out.
I don't get in line before I know what I want, but like some places, it is not easy to figure out what you're supposed to do. And what if you get there and there's no one in front of you, and then you're just like,
I stand back, and if they go, are you ready? I go, no, I'm still looking.
Well, it's not that I don't know what I want. It's like places like you, they have like weird ways you're supposed to order and where you're supposed to stand and like where you're supposed to wait for your food. And no, 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 you pay after you get it. No, and then you have to take the receipt and then you have to give me the receipt and the, like all that shit. I never know.
So too much of like people asking what every fucking ingredient at Chipotle
that's different.
Is,
that's different. That, yeah. Like, no, what's I'm that? Talking about...
It's corn, bitch. Look at it. It's shaped like corn. If it looks like corn and smells like corn...
Does it have gluten?
Yeah.
That's, I'm turning... It's the Andrew Dice Clay's girlfriend is there.
So, yeah. I guess what we're saying is we're on this French guy's side?
It depends on what he wants.
What is, there's, yeah,
there's
what
not
does he want?
There's not enough detail in that. It sounds like he probably wants his job back, which I think is pretty funny.
But I feel like the traditional French rudeness is not the fun kind.
Yeah.
It's like the, like... passive aggressive size. That's what it is. A waiter, if a waiter is passive, it's like most things. I feel like if a waiter's being passive aggressive, I will be really fucking mad. But if waiter's just like straight up aggressive, it's
like
kind
blunt.
Of refreshing.
Yeah,
blunt is fine.
Well, it's like,
but going, I'm like just like sighing and shit.
I have like a grudging respect for people in the service industry who make it very clear to you that they don't enjoy their jobs. Like I kind of respect that. Like it's not enjoyable, but I'm like. I've worked these jobs. They suck. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad that you feel like you don't have to fake it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it like makes my meal slightly more depressing.
It's the premium you pay.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Being a busboy was cool. Not really. That's not true. Why did I say that?
Just like fond memories of bussing tables.
Covering my ass in case I want to get a job.
Get
at the...
a sweet gig.
Yeah.
In case you're listening, I thought it was good. If I could ever come back, please.
Yeah, could bring Dylan McDermott mustard again. What a year.
Oh yeah, you were at the Standard. That's right. That's where you were.
Yeah. And he came in. It was the day, I think I said that on the podcast before. It was the day after that American Horror Story episode where he fucking cranks off staring out a window and crying. And like saw him 24 hours later and he's like, could I get some mustard? I
was like, hey man, great ep.
Yeah.
Great sewed.
Way to really crank it.
Yeah.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Guys, huge news. Huge news today about... I would say a podcast favorite. I feel like we've debated about his status on the podcast, but our friend Mad Mike, the Flat Earth Rocket Man, he fucking did it, you guys. He did it.
And by did it, I mean like
he proved
launched.
The Earth is flat.
That's what I meant.
He achieved none of his goals except not to
he
die.
He showed us all.
Yeah,
we were all wrong. It's like a plate.
He's definitely up there. If I was gonna like imagine like a sort of like hall of our podcast with like marble busts, it would be like him and like Ninen and like a meatball. I don't know. A filthy
a
little
meatball.
Rat.
A meatball. A filthy little rat.
Yeah.
Charles Manson's corpse.
Michael Channels.
Yeah. This is really humble of us. We're like 20 episodes in, and we're like, we've got some hits. It's true.
We've established a lot of canon.
I think it's fair to say we've built a world here. We have engaged in world building.
Are we the new Simpsons?
I think we are, without a doubt. But yeah, Mad Mike, he did it. He proved the Earth is flat, and he launched a rocket 2,000 feet in the air, came down, still with us.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad because it was like this whole time I was like, he's going to die.
Yeah. And then it's not going to be funny.
Yeah. Like we can't really talk about it or be like, well, he'd fucking splat it out. Like he can't. But he's fine. He probably hurt himself.
He did. He said he had a really good quote about it. Let me see if I can find the quote.
Was it ow?
Basically, yes.
Ouch.
It was basically
said Mad Mike. Ouch.
Ouchie. Okay. He says Mad Mike says of his launch afterward, he's interviewed. I'm sure there was lots of press on the scene. He said, am I glad I did it? Yeah, I guess. I'll feel it in the morning. I won't be able to get out of bed. At least I can go home and have dinner and see my cats tonight. Yeah. That was what he said immediately after. Like, he was just like, I feel like he was underwhelmed by the experience.
Yes.
Here's my problem with Mad Mike now. As somebody, like I said, we were a fan of, I was a fan of it in everything except the Flat Earth, is that, like, other thing is he starts talking about, he's like, other shit he wants to do and to be like governor of California. And it just becomes clear to me now that like, I used to think he was just like a passionate, crazy man.
Yeah. You
know? But I think he clearly just wants to be famous.
Right.
And
like,
I really hate
that. Used to be about the rocket, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought he was in it for the fucking flight.
I thought he was just in it to raise awareness about Flat Earth and to launch a rocket. I thought he had no immediate goals apart from this. You know what I mean?
Like, now we're going to find out he's got like a band or something.
He's going to be on a reality show about launching a fucking rocket or something.
Yeah, it's like those...
he's already got a treatment ready to go.
Yeah.
For a reality show.
Remember when those... whoever changed the Hollywood sign to say Hollyweed? And everyone's like, it's fun. And then they're like, yeah, it is fun. Anyways, we have a screenplay that we'd like to see.
Yeah.
Just everyone now is just like, wow, this blew up. Anyway, check out my SoundCloud. Yeah,
it's exactly what it is.
Yeah, we're going to read some Mad Mike SoundCloud.
This is, we have reached like maximum saturation of check out my SoundCloud culture where everyone just has a fucking thing. Look, I can't judge. I have three podcasts.
By the way, if you guys are interested, if you like what you heard so far, we got bonus episodes. Patreon.com/ for a time pod. Yeah. Lots of cool stuff.
Wow, this really blew up. Like my rocket that I launched into space. Check out my podcast.
Yeah, check out my You Caring.
for the injury that
I received for this.
That, I feel like that should become the new thing. Everyone just has a You Caring.
That's blew up. Check out my You Caring.
It's for like people with terminal illnesses and stuff.
Yikes. Here's a thing that can suck off birthday.
We should just call the podcast that. Sorry, anyway.
Here's a thing we could suck.
Here's a thing that can suck off.
Yeah. Here's a thing that can suck
that
off.
Classic Eli expression.
This is my new segment, which as of every other segment I've done will happen once. But those Facebook things where it's like, it's my birthday, so donate $500 to a charity. It's like, no, what? No. You know?
Eli coming out hard against charity.
No, but it's like, that's not... There is, like...
I wasn't going to
buy... Go suck off, charity.
I wasn't going to buy you anything for your birthday.
Yeah.
Because I don't know you that well.
Yeah, adults aren't... But I'm just saying that makes it... Like, adults don't... Unless you're close friends, it's not like you're going to birthday parties of, like... Like other you don't go to other comics' birthday parties with like little gifts and stuff. But if they make it about charity, then that's like really pressuring. And I just I don't like Facebook inserting themselves. Like this is more Facebook being like, but how could we be evil when in fact we are making you give money to charity? And it's like, it feels like Facebook is piggybacking on my donations, and I'm just not a fan.
You got them, man.
Yeah.
I think
that they're like, look what...
Facebook charities, go suck your own.
Yeah. It's just like, donate to charity. Don't make me fucking do it with little bar, yellow bars. Yeah.
I like when I open Facebook and it's like, Jennifer Swanson is donating your birthday to charity. It's like, who the fuck is Jennifer Swanson? And it's some girl I know who got married. And I haven't even seen her in so long. I didn't even know she was engaged. Yeah. Like a different last name. It's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely... I love having friends. I love having friends on Facebook. And I want to donate $5 because I would have given her $5 for her birthday.
Yeah. Hey, happy birthday. Here's $5.
Instead of the gift you were going to give me,
yeah,
just give it to charity. That's fine for like weddings and stuff.
I think it's nice for weddings.
Makes perfect sense.
And if it's a party or something, then do it. But for Facebook just to be like, we got this. Here, we'll just ask all your friends
for
money.
We'll just ask literally everyone you've ever friended on Facebook.
Just type in your credit card also. Just throw that in there.
Facebook.
Give us your info. You must, right? I guess it would maybe take you to an external site, but it's like 100%.
Yeah. Oh. Clearly none of us have ever done it.
Because we're heroes.
Because we're heroes.
Look, also,
Facebook was bad before it broke the world.
I don't know what market research they've done, but I don't know what part of sending a fucking million letters a week they think is going to endear people and encourage them to donate more. Like, I've donated to Planned Parenthood, and it's like, I feel like I was punished for doing it, the amount of mail that I received.
It's really crazy. Like, I don't donate to that many charities because I don't have that much money.
Yeah.
But my roommate gives a lot. She's very generous and she donates to a lot. She donates to like a lot of nonprofits and charities and stuff. And she's at this point is just like, I'm thinking about cutting back, not because I can't afford it, but because I'm sick of getting all this mail.
Yeah.
Like we get so much mail. It's such a waste of paper.
And it's also like, I know they're not all
they're clearly not environmental charities.
Yeah, that's like, they're not environmental charities, but even that, you'd think that if you are a nonprofit, if you are someone who is community minded, you might not send out, I am not kidding, it's like it, at least one like fat envelope a week of shit.
That's, I don't need to Planned Parenthood. Yeah, I think I get, yeah, like, I think I get one a week.
Them, something
like, hey, I heard you love abortions. Guess what? No.
Yeah. It's they're like, oh, they'll be so happy they donated when they get fucking 100 letters.
It's cost effective because if it jogs one person to give X amount, that pays for the postage for however much.
Yeah, yeah.
Nonprofits might have some kind of deal with postage.
A lot of them do.
No, but they're sending it to me who's already donated.
Yeah, well, they're trying to make sure they hook you back in.
Yeah.
But it's a recurring donation. You're going to stop.
Okay. Well, I mean, they figure that there's nothing to lose. You know, yeah. They bully. If they have another, if you actually read the literature they send and it gets you more into a panic about it, then maybe you up your monthly donation.
I think that's the goal.
But yeah, nobody, it's just giving you more things.
No, I just ripped the envelope and half put in recycling.
I gave you $20 and now you're writing me like a Civil War bride. I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, I got like the, my favorite is like for, colleges and stuff, like for college and my high school too, because I went to like a private Catholic high school, and for not so much for law school, but anyway, but they just like have these days where it's like it's National Giving Day, and they just fucking jam you up with like a million things in like six emails a day, and it's like, guys, you're not making it more likely that I'm going to give you anything here. I got to be honest with you. I gave money to Georgetown, my college, and I got a call like the same day. It's like, you guys should have a better, more updating real-time thing about who you're going to bother. Because the second I see it's a 202 number, it's like, that's DC, not fucking answering it because I know. And then they never leave a voicemail. Yeah. There's never somebody other than...
I had like a blissful 3 months where they couldn't find me. And I was so happy. Then they found me again. And yeah, it's like... And I remember like my friends...
Really, they don't really send mail to their
credit. At least sometimes. You're a lawyer. Getting calls from the school that got you your degree. I get calls from the Michigan art school being like, hey, did you want to give us some money? And I'd be like, I did. And it did nothing.
Yeah.
I work in social media. I like literally don't use my degree at all.
What's your endowment, guys? Can I get what's the endowment you guys have? What's your endowment?
Thing. Like on my, at my college, Warren Buffett was on the on the board of trustees and they have like $1 billion endowment. And it's like, I have a religious studies degree and no money. Like, you guys are fine. Like, stop.
Were you really religious, or that was just something that interested you?
It was just interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was never religious.
Warren Buffett went to my high school.
Really?
Yeah. He bought...
fucking weirdo.
That's where it, like, so happened. Weird. That's where he, like, bought candy machines or something. So, yeah. The other one that keeps calling me is, like...
I thought he was from, like, Omaha. He went to school in D.C.?
Yeah, I thought he was from Omaha, too.
He went to Woodrow Wilson. Maybe he moved, but I know that he went to Wilson.
Huh. Because the whole business, whole thing, like he lives in the same house he got married in, and even when he was worth like
yeah,
no
he's
money.
Like a weirdo.
That's not normal. That's like weird. He might not have been like endearing.
It's not relatable.
He may have been a military family.
Maybe.
Is that possible?
But like, yeah, he definitely lives in.
Like, I'm worth billions. Yeah. I live in the same one bedroom house. It's like that's weird.
Cool,
dude.
You fucking creep.
Yeah, I cut my own hair. It's like fucking. I don't cut my own hair. I'm not a billionaire.
But if
it's creepy.
I think even if I was really rich, I wouldn't unless I had like a big family. I wouldn't want a big house. Houses creep me out. Open space scares me. I want a small.
Eli needs to be wrapped up like a little,
like, little swaddled like a little baby.
I want a fucking thunder shirt, dude.
Dude, if I ever get super rich, I'm building a Temple Grandin hug machine in my basement to just sit in and have it gently squeeze me
and just watch TV.
TV.
Yeah. So instead of a couch, you have a Temple Grandin machine.
That actually seems like something that like just some pulsating mass in a basement just watching TV. Like this chair.
Yeah.
If you just walked into a basement and there's just a TV on
hey
and
guys,
some chair just swelling.
Like,
and then you're like, no, sit in it. It's good. I'd be like, absolutely
like,
not.
This is something out of like Blade. Yeah, like, what's going on here?
Why is praying in your basement?
I do think I would be slightly worried that it would like malfunction and crush me to death.
Oh,
but
it's like, well, I'm going to feel really safe until I'm not.
Yeah.
Until my ribs go into my organs. I'll feel very safe.
But yeah. I would 100%, like, I have thought about this before. Like, I would totally get one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot. I mean, this is right there with my, like, hamster water dispenser ideas.
Oh,
really,
man, yeah.
Working on it.
Man, rich guy Eli would have a crazy living situation.
You have one of those houses, like, you draw when you're a kid? Like, with all the weird rooms. Like, this room's just full of plastic
balls.
It'll
have a slide.
This room is all slides.
What's the budget of, like...
like a TV show for a network or whatever. Just give me that money and then just film what I do with it, because I think I'd kill it. And I get a water hamster thing. I get a thunder shirt. You can just watch me be a fucking weird in my house. It'd be great.
You getting a thunder shirt sounds like riveting television.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the other one I was going to say is that
I feel safe.
The other people that keep calling me for money repeatedly is Hillel, which is a, like, Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And that's got to not feel great. And I'm always like, guys, can we not, like, be the, like, hello? Just wondering if you'd like to give us some money for Hillel.
It's like, you guys know I'm one of you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think it's, like, doing bad things for the reputation of Jewish people that they're asking for money?
It just feels a little like...
We have some of that... You're like doing like the little like making the noise over the phone of like your hands.
So they call you and you're just like little on the nose, guys. Yeah. Little on the nose.
On the nose, how dare you?
Are you smacking your lips?
Yeah, it's like
Jesus
that.
Christ.
I can just hear money counters in the background. They're just like, we prefer gold Deutschmarks, but we'll take anything.
Jesus
just,
Christ.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I also went to Hillel like twice, and it was just weird. It, like, they had like the equivalent of a youth pastor that's like a cool canner with like one earring. It's like, we're going to sing Tree of Life because that's the only song anyone fucking sings at synagogue.
I guess it makes sense that they would have like youth rabbis. That just is very funny to me to try to analogize that into this.
Yeah,
same.
Like a cool youth pastor, but
it
Jewish.
It is the Tree of Life. Like, there's the whole thing.
Hey, kids, just like up on the chair. It's like, let's talk about some settlements.
Yeah. It's like, but it's also better because it is in Hebrew. Like, so it is like, it's like, I can't remember any of the songs, but it's like, I'm not just going to do fake Hebrew, but you know, it is like,
thank you.
It's just thank you like, for not Yahweh, doing fake Hebrew. It's like someone with an earring.
You're the only one
like,
in this room.
Dio.
You're the only one of the three of us that's allowed to do fake Hebrew without getting in trouble. So
yeah, but it's like, it'll be like a guy with like frosted tips and like a one earring being like, and what did the Jews say? They said Dayenu. It's just like, fucking. I wish you had the payas and stuff.
It'd be funny if Bieber joined one of those like hip things.
Yeah,
because he's in that Hillsong thing.
This would be that would be fun if like instead of Kabbalah, like that became the type of Judaism that people got super into, like rock and roll Judaism.
Just lame youth cantor Judaism.
We need to end this. By the way,
we're doing it. We've been trying. Like we've been circling.
We'll end with the traditional podcast blessing.
Sing Tree of Life, please.
Do you have
this.
Anything to plug? Yeah. I don't have anything to plug personally. I'm Patty Mellon stuff. I run a show every Friday with Eli Karma. This Friday, it looks like we're not going to be doing it because we're all out of town and stuff. So next Friday we'll be back. It's always a good show. That's it for me.
I have something you can do on Friday if you're looking. Now that there's no Karma. I am doing a show with my Russell Splania podcast co-host Rachel Millman and Brian and Brett from Street Fight Radio. That's at Littlefield at doors at 7:30, show at 8:30. Tickets are $10. Please buy them. Please come. It's going to be super fun. We were just planning it yesterday. It's going to be a good time. Saturday, I have a show at Verso, the Verso Loft. It's called Paid Protest. It's a stand-up showcase that's a benefit for the DSA Service Industry Working Group. That'll be really fun as well. And if you can't go to those or if you aren't in New York, I am also, the day this comes out, tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, Rachel and I are Twitch streaming to raise a little bit of money for our WrestleMania trip. We're going to be watching a bunch of like weird old wrestling. If you donate, you can choose whatever weird, horrible thing you make us watch. So that'll be really fun. Yeah, I think that's all I have to plug. Kath Barbadoro on all the things.
Cool. I just have... That is a bigger show and a more important show on Friday. Go to that if you can.
Aw, thanks,
you
Eli.
Can't make that or something.
Or if you hate me and you love Eli, I get it. It's fine.
If you're my mom, I am doing a show on Friday at the Huron Room, which I don't know exactly where that is, but it's in New York.
It's in Lake Huron.
Oh, it's not. It's in New York. Don't lie to people.
Big road
it's
trip.
It's at 8 p.m. and it's called the Comedian's Power Hour. So it's going to be me and another comic, Casey James Salengo, super funny comic, where we will spend an hour trading off doing jokes and drinking a shot of beer every 2 minutes for an hour. So come get more drunk than I would like to
that
be.
Sounds out of character for both of you.
Yeah. Who knows how we'll handle it.
I think I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah. And as always, guys, if you like the podcast, please feel free to give us reviews on iTunes, 5 stars or whatever. And also, if you like it and you'd like to hear more, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. And also send us an email at whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. There's all those different ways to contact us. Also the Discord. Look, it's all in the description. It's fine. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.